الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable viewers of Madani Channel, there are many blessings and virtues related to sending salawat and salam upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, we're told, Zayyinu majalisakum bis-salati alayya. Decorate your gatherings by reciting salat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ نُورٌ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ For indeed your recitation of salat upon me will be noor for you on the day of judgment. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أفضل العمل النية الصادقة. The greatest action is having a truthful, sincere intention. When we speak about intentions, intentions are very important. On the day of judgment, do you know that some people will look towards their book of deeds and they will find certain good actions written within their book of deeds which they did not actually do in the world. They did not physically do those actions, yet they will find them in their book of deeds. And when it will be asked, where did these good deeds come from? They'll be told that although you did not do these actions which you find in your book of deeds, but you most certainly had a firm intention to do them. Because you had firmly intended to do them and you weren't able to due to some obstacle or reason, Allah Ta'ala has rewarded you as if you actually carried out that good deed as well. We learn from this that having good intentions is very important. And if we want to maximize our good deeds, we are from those people who are eager to increase our good deeds, then we will become habitual in reciting, reading, making good intentions before good deeds, inshallah. May Allah give us divine aid in this regard. Make the intention that whatever you hear, you will try your utmost to act upon it and to spread it to others as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you do any good deed, try to make good intentions before that good deed so that you multiply and increase your reward. We're going to hear about Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, an intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a place called Bi'r Sab'ah. And how did this place gain its name? Bi'r Sab'ah. Bi'r means well in Arabic. And Sab'ah, this is the Arabic number for 7. So the number that comes after 6, 7. In Arabic, we say Sab'ah. Bi'r Sab'ah. This area, it's mentioned that when Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam was ma'adhallah thrown into the fire by Nimrud, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that fire become cool and peaceful for him, as mentioned in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, that oh fire become cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. When this incident happened, thereafter Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam left Babel, traveled across Egypt, and ended up in this place which is known as Bi'r Sab'ah. Now, when he went there, he was a young man, a strong man. He had a lot of bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with livestock, animals, wealth, all sorts of favors and blessings. Now, the people of that locality, they respected Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. They would call him a pious man, a pious sheikh. But thereafter, what happened? Sometimes that's human nature. We see it often that initially people fond of you, they respect you, but then they turn against you for some reason. These very same people later on insulted Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they said to him, leave this area. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had to leave. Now, we know that anyone who disrespects a Nabi of Allah, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if that prophet forgives them, there will be consequences because you have upset, because you have insulted a beloved of Allah. So when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam left with his animals, with his wealth, with all of his livestock, what happened? The people took their animals, their sheep, to the wells, and when they took them there to quench their thirst, they saw that the wells had become completely dry. There wasn't a single drop of water in the wells. Now, when this happened, they realized that this is divine punishment, punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We insulted a great man of Allah. They insulted Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And now Allah has punished them in that water has become scarce. The wells have dried up. The animals are thirsty. So they realize the error of their ways. What do they do next? They go towards Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they say, we have made a mistake. We have committed a major crime. We insulted you. As a result, we've been punished. Please come back so that this drought, this calamity that we're facing ends. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I will not return with you, but take 7 of my goats, place each one next to the respective well, just stand them there, and Allah Ta'ala will bless you with water. So this is what they did. They took these 7 goats of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. They made them stand near the wells, and everyone witnessed that the water, which had finished in those wells, subhanallah, gushed to the surface. Water came back. Water returned. The animals drank, the people benefited. And this is why that area and town became known as Bi'r Sab'a, the town of 7 wells. Now, in this account, there are so many things that we can touch upon. But one remarkable feature from this account, something that stands out, is that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam gave 7 of his own goats to these people. And when these goats were stood next to the well, water gushed forth, water rose to the surface. We learn that throughout history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed blessings in belongings of Anbiya alayhi salam. The tabarrukat, the sacred relics, anything which has a connection with Anbiya alayhi salam has blessings. Now here, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam could have said to them that go and do collective istighfar. We know the benefits of istighfar. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam could have said to them, go and perform X amount of nawafil, 1,000, 2,000. Then pray to Allah, the water will return. But what did Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam do in this instance? He said, take my 7 goats, make them stand, just make them stand next to the wells, and you will attain water. Remember that Nabi alayhi salam did not go with them. He himself did not stand. We know that the goat belonging to a prophet of Allah is blessed. Then what about the remarkable rank of the prophet himself? What about the barakat that emanate from the wujud, the presence of the Nabi alayhi salam himself. So tabarrukat, sacred relics, anything that belongs to the Anbiya alayhi salam and the Saliheen, it is perfectly fine and permissible to seek blessings from them. Now, if someone's confused on this matter, all he has to do is open Al-Quran al-Kareem. And again, regarding Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, this account, this part of the verse is related to him. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take the place of Ibrahim as your place of prayer. What does this mean? When you go to perform Umrah or Hajj, anyone who's been, they know that after Tawaf, the initial Tawaf, what do? You read two rak'at, two cycles known as Wajibut Tawaf. The best place to read them is right behind Maqami Ibrahim, parallel to the Kaaba. So you're in front of Maqami Ibrahim, and beyond Maqami Ibrahim is Kaaba al-Musharrafa. What is Maqami Ibrahim? This place that Allah has told us to stand directly behind to attain the most fadila. What is this? When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was constructing the blessed Kaaba, we know that there weren't these massive cranes and construction equipment that we have today. So a miracle took place that the higher the walls of the Kaaba became, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam stood upon this stone, the further that the stone would rise. And this is how they were able to construct the Kaaba, reconstruct it. Now the khasiyah of that stone, the quality of that stone was that it was very soft for Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he stood on it, his blessed feet became imprinted on that stone. And now it's preserved for all the Muslims to see. Thousands of years ago, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam stood on it. And today you can see yourself when you go past it, you can see the imprints of the blessed feet. These are the imprints. These are not Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam himself. The imprints of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's blessed feet are so great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he said to all the Muslims, when you go to perform Umrah after your Tawaf, stand right behind Maqam Ibrahim, give respect to Maqam Ibrahim, and then offer your two rak'at. Now think about this for a second now. When you're performing these two cycles of prayer after your Tawaf, and you're performing it right in line with Maqam Ibrahim, it's in front of you, will the thought of Maqam Ibrahim not cross your mind? Of course it will. When you're reading these nawafil, many people may try to recite those very same verses, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, until the end of the verse, and other verses as well. So most definitely you'll be thinking about the blessed imprints of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now think about it logically for a second. If in namaz, in salah, which is a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're a monotheist, you're a muwahid, but in namaz you're thinking about Maqam Ibrahim, no one will ever say to you that for you to think about Maqam Ibrahim in that moment is shirk, or it invalidates your namaz, or it breaks your prayer, or you've committed a major crime, a haram. No. The fadila is in standing right before it and worshipping Allah. So how on earth can people come to the conclusion today that when you're in namaz and you read As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu and you think about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is something that constitutes shirk. That's something that invalidates your prayer. And ma'adhallah, they've given all sorts of gross examples when trying to explain this. So when thinking about the imprints of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam's blessed feet does not invalidate prayer, then thinking about the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will that invalidate prayer? And ask yourself, when you say Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu, peace be upon you, O beloved Prophet, do you think of Allah at that time? No, because Allah is not the Prophet. The Prophet alayhi salam is not Allah. They're two separate beings. Allah is the Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his final messenger. So when you say Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu, you most definitely think about the Prophet alayhi salam. And you think about his blessed status in the court of Allah. Allah is asking you to send salam upon him right in your prayer, right in ibadah. So these are things which we should keep in mind. We should not fall prey to people who try to confuse, try to place wasawis, satanic whispers into the hearts and minds of the ummah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us correct aqeedah and the pristine aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So moving on, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had many qualities. One of them we know is that he would never partake in a meal without a guest. This was the beloved Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whatever he would eat, it was lazim, necessary for someone else to be there as well. Otherwise he wouldn't eat. Because of this, he has gained the title Abu Dayfan, the one who provides hospitality to guests. A famous title is Khalilullah. Khalilullah means an intimate, close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that one of his titles, his kunya, is Abul Anbiya, father of the prophets alayhi salam. Even our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam's blessed lineage goes back to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam through Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. So great Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who has been mentioned in Al-Quran al-Kareem numerously, time and time again, in various maqamat. We should try and study inshaAllah al-Kareem. Now, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, one beautiful quality that we find is that he was very modest. He had a lot of haya, and this is a sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. They're very modest. They're far from indecency, immodesty, haram acts. They are the most modest in Allah's creation. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding his haya, subhanallah, the sahaba mentioned, they relate that he was more shy than a virgin girl in her chamber. The Prophet alayhi salam was very modest. And it's related in his shama'il that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often keep his gaze lowered. Today we find it hard to keep our gaze lowered. You know, if someone tells us, practice it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we say, what's this? This is too difficult. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look down more than he would look towards the heavens. I mean, this was his haya, his level of modesty, and modesty is very important. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, it's mentioned on one occasion, due to this modesty, he didn't even want the earth to see his concealed parts. So what happened? It's related that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam. And Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam would come to all the Anbiya alayhi salam. And Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam said, O Ibrahim, tell your wife, Lady Sarah, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that she should make trousers out of this piece of cloth that comes all the way from the heavens. So his wife did as was instructed. And when Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam wore those particular trousers, he said, how splendid are these as a covering. So they were very modest. And today, Allahu Akbar, modesty, it seems, has been abandoned. When we speak about the general state of the ummah, modesty is not seen. Haya is not seen. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stressed haya to such an extent where he said that iman and haya are intertwined. They are strongly connected and linked. فَإِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرُ. If one of them is lifted, the other is automatically lifted. And today, youngsters, not only youngsters, adults, social media. Yes, with the advent of the internet, social media, a lot of good can be done as well. But let's ask ourselves, are the majority using social media and internet for good reasons or bad reasons? To increase their good deeds or to increase their sayyi'at? And you don't even have to answer that. It's a reality. It's known. People go on live streams. They leave their modesty outside that live stream. On the live stream, they say anything that comes to their mind. They speak indecently. They swear. All for what? A bit of fame. They want people to gift them roses. They want people to gift them money. I mean, no morals. How can a Muslim be like that? A Muslim is he who's always mindful of his character, how people think of him, in the sense that he doesn't place himself at a place of humiliation and disgrace. But today people are doing it for money. Before in the past, you needed to have a physical bad companion. We speak about bad company. You had to have a physical companion with you who misguides you, who says wrong things to you, tells you to do wrong stuff. But today, it can be argued that you don't even need a physical person there with you. All you need is this device, the mobile phone. And this mobile phone acts as that bad companion for a lot of people. They're going on sites they shouldn't be going on. They're seeing things that they shouldn't be seeing. They're commenting things that they haven't verified. This is another issue in the Ummah, that rumors, hearsay, things that we hear from people who are not mu'tabar and not even reliable, we post it straight away on our feeds, comment sections. I heard this and this is what happened. Allahu Akbar. Remember, when you leave a comment, the whole world potentially can see that comment. And if you've lied, if you haven't done tahqeeq research, you pass away, that comment will still stay there. You'll continue to gain sins in your book of deeds. So there are adab, there are etiquette of using the internet and social media, which most of us don't even know of. So haya was a beautiful quality of Sayyiduna Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, just as it was a quality of many, all the anbiya alayhi wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all divine aid and tawfiq in this regard. Ameen. Bijahi nabi al-ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sake of Medina, we're calling upon you.